Live in Color mit Glamour Boys auf Flux FM, meine Damen und Herren. Es ist Freitagnachmittag. Sie hören die Morning Show auf Flux FM am Freitagnachmittag. Heute Abend spielt die Band aus New York City im Franz Club und schon jetzt sind die Herren bei mir im Studio. Wir quatschen ein bisschen über die Veränderungen im Musikbusiness, an die sich die Oldschooler von Live in Color, die ja seit 84 miteinander musizieren, durchaus gewöhnen mussten. Wir finden heraus, wann genau ihr für Herbst angekündigtes neues Album Shade Noon erscheint und was man von der Platte erwartet. Kann. Wir sprechen über die Vorteile einer im Jazz versierten Band, über die laufende Europa-Tour. Wir reden über Crowdfunding, eine Band without country und vieles, vieles mehr. Zunächst aber begrüße ich die Helden meiner Jugend, die Band, die eine große Mitschuld daran trägt, dass auch ich einst die Gitarre in die Hand nahm. Hier sind Vernon Reed, Corey Glover, Will Calhoun und Doug Wimbish. Welcome to Flux FM, Live in Color!
Hey. Dankeschön.
Ja, bitteschön. It's so good to have you here, guys. How are you doing today?
Great.
Good.
Cool, cool, cool. Where are you coming from, actually?
Home.
New York City.
Oh, yeah. so you came directly to Berlin from New York City.
Yeah. Yes, you did.
Oh, wow. It's the start of the tour. You're still fresh.
Yeah. We still sort of like each other.
You still like each other?
For now.
That's a nice thing. So, I'm so happy to meet you guys. You probably realize that I'm a bit...
It's okay.
Electricity is running through my body.
Hello.
Really, your music has been such an important part of my life. You won't believe it. And now you're here. It's lovely. And I'm happy because I've read about a new upcoming album called Shade.
Yes.
Do you know when it's going to come out?
No, we don't know.
Yeah,
we have no idea.
We're working on it. We're in process of working on it. It's going to come out very soon.
Yeah.
We have Shade's coming out soon, but even sooner than that, we're releasing a single, and we're working on it right now, and we're very excited about it. We did a cover of Biggie Smalls' song "Who Shot Ya."
Oh wow!
And we're also going to be releasing a kind of mixtape of remixes and things, it's going to be we're pretty excited about it.
Yeah. I've read about the fact that the album is going to be deconstructing the blues, kind of. But when you're talking about the fact that you covered Biggie Smalls' track, Who Shot Ya, that's maybe because of the political situation
in
the U.S.,
also,
right?
To choose
that song.
There's a direct connection between the blues and hip-hop.
Yeah, that's true, too.
And, you know, the use of aliases and other names, secondary names, is, you know, the truth-telling about situations in life and in the streets.
Yeah.
So there's a very clear connection. So that's not, and the thing about, you know, the thing about recording Who Shot Ya is that it's really organically from our experience. You know, it's actually came about because it's one of Corey's favorite tunes, and we would do sound checks. And during the sound checks, he would always do verses from Who Shot Ya during sound check. And when we were in the process of recording it, you know, we had recorded, a couple of different things, and I said, you know what, you always do Who Shot Ya when we're doing sound checks. Let's record it. Why not record it?
Okay, cool.
So
you're going to put that out this summer?
Yes.
Yes.
That's interesting. That's really interesting.
Corey, why don't you talk about that? Why do you always used to do...
I mean, the verse is actually... Move is what he's trying to tell you.
Come on in. You got space.
Thank you. Anyway.
See, that's what the problem is.
So.
Talk to the people.
I'm going to kill you.
It started so friendly, guys.
Anyway. So, basically, that particular song, it was very prescient in that. Even in that he lived in a culture of violence and that he basically died in a culture of violence was what was so poignant to me about the song itself. But his verses and the rhymes that he specifically put in there spoke to something much larger than himself that was very poignant to me, and that was very important to me. And he did it so succinctly and in the canon of Notorious B.I.G.'s songs, that one is on top. There's a few of them that stand out to me. The stuff he did with Jay-Z and the stuff he did with Little Kim and all this other stuff. There's a bunch of stuff. Benjamin's stuff he did with P. Diddy, all that stuff. But that was seminal in that you really, really got to see, you hear the pathos in that particular song, and it's brilliant to me.
No, when you're talking about that, I really, when you just told me about that, I really thought that it was one a decision because to record that song because you love that song so much and you've always tried it out on soundtrack. But it might have been the idea to record that specific song because it fits the time, sadly.
Well, unfortunately, it's still prescient today as it was when it was recorded and what was going on. Our sort of thinking was we were talking about the culture of violence that exists in this world, and how to really talk about it, how to really get to the root of it. We're never going to get to the root of it, but in our quest to find something out about the world that we live in, that we use this song to sort of shine a light on that.
I wanted to talk about the situation in the U.S. with you guys as well,
sure.
Because it's crazy what's happening right there. There's white policemen killing innocent young black men. How disappointed are you with the society that seemed to overcome racism for a few years, you know, when Obama was elected.
It never overcame,
but there were some good signs on the horizon. At least that's what I felt, being a European guy who has the far out perspective. I mean, I've never been to the States, and I only have my views from here on the situation there. But like in 2000s or in the early 2000s or maybe when Obama was elected, people had high hopes on things that things would change. How disappointed are you with the fact that it seems to go backwards right now?
Well, I don't think it really ever changed too much, to be honest with you. It's very similar to Eastern Berlin and Western Berlin in some aspects. The problem with any situation when you want to get down to what people call race, which doesn't really exist, is the problem. And if you're going to start the game halfway into the, you know, halfway into the field, you're not going to get the full game, not going to get the full story. Mm-hmm. So the issue isn't really Obama so much. The issue really so much isn't the gun violence. It's America and how America was colonized and how the system was built on that particular terrorist crime. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to actually try to act like nothing's wrong sort of in the bottom of that scenario. So we can talk about police and we can talk about racism and we can talk. But I just think it's a deeper problem. And you can't fix a problem at the top.
Yeah,
you have to go to the source. You can adjust the problem at the top. It can be adjusted. You can talk about some things. But if you really want to deal with it, just my opinion, for that scenario, there's a lot of other things that are involved that lend itself for the police to have that kind of behavior and be able to get away with it.
Well, the thing about race is the fundamental dishonesty about the entire construct. Like when people talk about race, they think about it as a problem with the Negro or black problem. But whiteness is also a construct.
Yeah.
All you'd have to do is look at a millennia of European history and look at, you know the Germans versus the French versus the English versus the Portuguese.
Yeah.
It's a long, bloody, terrible history. We look at, you know, all this focus on Islamic terrorism ignores the history of Christendom.
Yeah.
Wars that lasted 100 years. The Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah.
All of these things. We're talking about situations of sieges where they were like, how do we separate the Christians from the Muslims? They're all living together. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to kill everyone and let God sort out. God will find his own. That is what happened here.
Yeah.
So what we're looking at, one way of looking at the Islamic situation with terrorism is to think of it all these crazy fanatics. But then we had history of Christian fanaticism that lasted for hundreds of years.
Totally,
maybe what we're watching, maybe what we're witnessing is the Islamic Reformation.
Yeah.
Maybe what we're seeing between the the Shia and the Sunni is them sorting it out violently the way Christians, the Protestants and the Catholics sorted out violently for centuries.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, it's like you see a woman in a headscarf and it's like clutch the pearls and run screaming. It's really, really, but all of these things, the religious differences, the racial differences, fundamentally dishonest. Why are black people every shade of a brown rainbow? It's fundamentally dishonest.
Yeah.
It, no one's going to talk about Strom Thurmond had a black daughter. I heard that for years. He's a senator who was a segregationist senator. I heard from older black people, you know that Strom Thurmond's got a black daughter. I rolled my eyes when I heard that. Then when Strom Thurmond died, the family acknowledged her. It's fundamentally crazy. Dishonest. Yeah. And it's the kind of insanity. I think it's a big change that Obama was elected president. It's a shocking change. And that's part of the reason why all of this stuff is happening right now. The body politic got a shock to the system that it couldn't really assimilate. That's why there's only 8 Supreme Court justices now. The first time in the history of the Supreme Court. And he can't get his nominee to get a hearing.
Yeah.
Why? And everybody acts like it's not racial. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's a crazy situation over there. That's the
it's a crazy situation everywhere.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, what happened in Nice yesterday, it's crazy as well.
Yeah, yeah. Just watching the news today.
It's a super sad thing that happened there.
That's the importance of artists. That's the importance, I think, of us to write music and for people to be able to express themselves, whether they're doing graffiti or they're painting or they're doing poetry. The art is really, to me, the last answer, at least at the moment, of being able to communicate with people, not have to deal with language and color and sexes, genders, and those kind of things.
And for me, that has been the beauty of the line, "What's your favorite color, baby? Living color." Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. Now, let's listen to some music before we get too political.
Yeah, sorry.
Let's listen to
a
song.
And that's why we play the blues.
Let's listen to a song called "Solace of You," a beautiful song.